Hello, and welcome to the GovSat Report Radio, where we discuss the trends and technologies impacting the commercial satellite industry today. My name is Ryan Traden, I'm the executive editor of the GovSat Report, and joining me today is Jeff Rollison, the Vice President of Government Affairs at SES Government Solutions. In addition to working with SESGS, Jeff is also a contributor to the GovSat Report, authoring articles on the policy decisions impacting the commercial satellite industry and the different ways civilian agencies and military branches purchase and utilize commercial satellite communication services. Jeff is joining us today to discuss the current acquisition process that the military utilizes to purchase ComSatCom and some recommended changes that he feels can make the process more efficient and more cost-effective for taxpayers. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate your opportunity.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. So for the sake of our listeners, can you just give us a little bit of background info on how the United States military is currently utilizing ComSatCom services to accomplish its mission?
Every mission DoD does is enabled by the availability and utilization of SATCOM services. We enable requirements across a huge array of military and non-military requirements, from intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, known as ISR, to theater command and control, to MWR, the Morale, Welfare, and Recreation Initiatives, even disaster response. The Ebola response utilized ComSatCom, the market and the availability of services. So we're seeing across the spectrum of military and DoD and U.S. government requirements, the use of SATCOM, and we're only seeing a demand signal that is strengthening.
Excellent. So it's very obvious that ComSatCom services are really important for the military, mission critical, some would say. So how is the United States military currently acquiring these services from companies like SESGS?
Well, therein lies a bit of the problem. Currently, the model is very much a spot market type of situation. When the government can't satisfy its own requirements internally with its own capability, if you will, it turns to the commercial market. That last-minute catch-as-catch-can model just isn't cost-effective and introduces a lot of risk. Some of the questions there are always, hey, is there capacity available? Is it where we need it to be, and can we afford it? And with that last-minute nature, we're just not realizing the cost savings we could on the commercial market if we were integrated into the planning and programming efforts that go along with all of the DoD's budgeting processes. And that's the forecasting part, if you will. And what we want to do is create the policy and the architecture that better integrates us into the planning and programming of resources in advance, so we don't get caught up into the last minute availability. And some of our predecessors have kind of, you know, used the euphemism of it. It's kind of like buying janitorial services. Buying toilet paper is, you know, you need it, but it's not the sexy thing to go out and buy. So you buy it at the last minute.
And I guess buying it in small quantities probably brings up the price, too. I think that's why we probably all shop at Costco for things like that. So, you know, it's very clear, obviously, that the way they're doing it isn't working, isn't cost effective. It's costing taxpayers money. So how should the acquisition of SATCOM services be going down? You know, what is the best scenario in your mind for acquiring these services?
Well, that's a timely question, because there are things in motion right now that I think are starting to move that ball forward. And to take full advantage of commercial SATCOM capabilities and inform the development of future capabilities, the DoD really must adopt a common architecture that integrates commercial, not only the commercial side, but the military networks across the government-controlled and the commercial platforms and frequencies. So given a role in that architecture, SESGS and honestly our industry partners can better anticipate and create solutions that will meet the near and long-term requirements of the department and other government agencies. We're happy to see some developing legislation in support of that. Both the House and the Senate National Defense Authorization Acts, NDAAs, that are just going into conference here pretty soon, are going to, in some fashion, address that policy development. And both versions advocate for the designation of a department-wide single functional manager that's going to be responsible for the acquisition and procurement of SATCOM services, both military and commercial.
So you talked about this common architecture and some other things that you feel need to change for us to really fix this acquisition process. What steps are going to get us from where we are now to, you know, that kind of ideal situation? And here's an interesting question for you. I know in the military and the DOD, there's kind of this thinking that if we don't build it ourselves, it's not as secure, it might not meet all of our mission requirements. So is this really just a change in policy, or is there a change in mindset that also needs to kind of go along with that?
No, well, I think you framed that pretty well. The question is how do we get there, right? So I think the change we just discussed before in the architecture is going to be motivated by a shift in policy. So our customers right now are realizing the benefits of commercially enabled solutions that we provide every day. So that mindset, I think, is supportive of an architecture shift, and that really truly can only be brought about by some policy change. And so the reality we live in today needs to be institutionalized with some policy differences. So in fact, in terms of operational utilization of this theory, we're seeing an effort to integrate commercial and military satellite expertise right now. The U.S. Strategic Command's Joint Functional Component Command for Space, that's a mouthful, just recently initiated a 6-month pilot program that incorporating commercial operators into its Joint Space Operations Center. And the Commercial Integration Cell, the CIC, that pilot program will explore ways to integrate commercial industry capabilities into the day-to-day DoD space operations. So in reality, it's a fantastic win for both the DoD and industry to demonstrate how an integrated architecture can be utilized and exploited and really make things better for the government.
That's excellent. Well, as a taxpayer, I'm always really interested in anything that the government and the military, can be doing to, increase cost efficiencies and make sure that we're spending our money in the most effective and cost-effective way. So I think this common architecture and the incorporation of some of these solutions and changing the way we acquire them will definitely help in that area, while also making sure that our military is prepared in theater and can communicate and get the information that they need in theater. So that's very exciting to me. Jeff, I want to thank you for appearing on the program and taking the time out of your schedule to enlighten our listeners on this. I think it's a very important topic, and this has been extremely informational. So thank you so much for dialing in today.
Well, thank you, Ryan. It's been a pleasure talking with you briefly today. And if your listeners have any questions, please follow us on Facebook. We've got a Twitter account, and we're on the web at ses-gs.com. So, thank you for making some time for me. I know that government policy isn't the most enthralling topic, but I'm happy to talk about it.
Hey, well, not a problem. It was great having you on. The pleasure was definitely all mine. For our listeners, I definitely encourage you to take Jeff up on that, follow them on Facebook, check them out on Twitter, or see them online, ses-gs.com. I also want to thank you guys for all joining us today and dropping by for a very interesting policy discussion. I encourage you to stop back in again, because we will have more episodes of the GovSat Report Radio in the coming weeks.